This podcast is presented by All Copy Products, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Learn more at allcopyproducts.com.
To the 15 to the 10, Murray's going to score, touchdown!
Welcome to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker. Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield. Connor to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone for the touchdown.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by Arizona Cardinals Podcast. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast.
Here we go.
One-handed catch and a touchdown.
Oh, baby. How's that feel?
Here's Craig Grealoux, Paul Calvisi, and nine-year NFL veteran Rob Fredrickson.
So a year ago, the start to free agency was relatively quiet and probably not unforeseen, given the changes in the front office, a brand new general manager. This time around, though, quite the opposite. It's been busy. In the past 7 days, 8 new players added, plus one via a trade. Change is coming. Change has already been with the Arizona Cardinals since Monty Austenfort and Jonathan Gannon came on board a year ago. And that is what the National Football League is all about. Rob, you know it full well. That is the one thing that is constant. It is change.
It's a constant in the NFL, and you know, you're right. This free agency started out with some fireworks. I can't remember the last time there was this much activity before it was even legal, right? Or maybe it was legal. It was tampering, but
yes.
I don't get that whole phraseology. But it was certainly a lot of activity going on, and it's interesting to see where these guys are going. That you thought there was going to be a market for them, obviously, but to see so much, especially at the top end, go so early and with some big deals. And now, you know, now's really the time where these general managers get to work and find out where the true value is, because there's still some good free agents available. And you'll see it doesn't just end because the draft starts. The free agency will continue on, and you'll see some moves happening.
You get the second wave, the third wave, some free agent visits, but by and large, the heavy lifting, if you will, done for the Cardinals in free agency. Not a lot of household names, Paul, and we've discussed this, but areas of need addressed, especially defensively. 5 of the 8 players signed on the defense and all 3 levels of the defense.
Yeah, there's needs and there's wants. There's no doubt Monty Austenfort went out and addressed some serious needs in the D-line room, corner. You know, you're trying to get better in that front 7, especially based on the results last year on the litany of injuries. So you went out, you got guys you can count on, reliability. I mean, you know, you buy a car and you get like 10 miles out of it before it breaks down. Are you going to buy that brand again? No. So you know what? You go out, you get guys with a track record of reliability, durability, and that's exactly what he did. Almost every single guy he signed, especially along that defensive front, has been really reliable. So, okay, you know, now you can target and draft those elite guys, because we saw what the elite guys commanded in free agency, and that's just not sustainable. So to me, there are needs, and that's what you address in free agency. The wants, that's if you're a player or two away from contending for a Super Bowl, in my opinion. So to me, this is more the nuts and the bolts and the guts of a team and what you needed to compete. In this case, especially stop the run, which was such, especially in this division, that had to be addressed in the offseason.
And it actually began on the Friday before the start of the new league year. As far as addressing the defensive line, the Cardinals went out and re-signed L.J. Collier to a 1-year deal. Didn't see a whole lick of Collier on the football field, just one game played, and it wasn't even a full game after he suffered a biceps injury. But then another handful of players added on that defensive line, which we will get into as far as a Justin Jones, a Bilal Nichols. And then you got to look at your own free agents, Rob, and there were 7 that were re-signed, including 3 on the offensive line, and perhaps, maybe, your projected starting left guard, whether that's Elijah Wilkinson or Tristan Colon, 2 players that did have experience at that position a year ago. And along the offensive line, that's the one position that wasn't really addressed so far as what are you going to do at left guard?
Well, I don't think you need to do anything because Aaron Donald retired, so you know we're good.
The best news of the week.
I don't think we can skip over that. But no, it's interesting with the Cardinals' internal signings. They're all 1 year deals. You know, all of them 1 year deals, except for Blake Gilligan, a 2 year deal, but. Shorter term deals you're seeing the Cardinals making, and with the free agent signings that they've gone out and got, they're not these long deals where you know it's really absorbing a lot of the cap space. It's 2 and 3 year deals that the Cardinals are signing, and so it's a different philosophy that the Cardinals are taking versus a lot of the rest of the teams in the NFL. But I do like the signings of bringing back these guys. More than anything, look, this Cardinals team needs depth. And the free agents that they went out and signed, Paul mentioned it earlier, these are guys that have a history of being available to play. These are guys that are not in the training room an awful lot. They're out there playing, and that's more than anything. That's what the Cardinals' defensive line last year. They didn't have that, and they need depth. Obviously, they want good players, and they got a couple good players, but they need guys that are available to play on Sundays.
I also wonder what free agency tells us about the draft. For example, Jonah Williams signed. He's an immediate starting tackle. NFL Network says Paris Johnson Jr. is going to left and Jonah Williams will start at right, where he started last year for the Cincinnati Bengals. And actually, based on the analytics, had a better season last year at right tackle than he did the previous year at left tackle, which was his natural position, which he played at Alabama in his first 4 years in the league. But what does that do for Monty Osford in the draft? All of a sudden, his first selection in the first round doesn't have to be the offensive tackle. I think it frees him up to a certain degree. There's also who you didn't bring back. You didn't bring back Hollywood Brown. You got rid of Rondale Moore. Two undersized receivers. Oh, wait a minute. This draft is absolutely loaded at the receiver position. You have 3 third-round picks. Do you think you can fill out your receiver room with another pick in the third round, at least at the receiver position, presuming you get a receiver with your first 3 picks, first and second round, if indeed that is the plan? So I think it was a nod to the strengths of this draft. And as for left guard, I'm still holding out some thinking that perhaps the Cardinals get a franchise center at 27 or 35, and Yelda Froholt easily could go to left guard where he has excelled in the past.
And you also have John Gaines, who we didn't see at all last season because of a knee injury, but we do know that he was going to have a role in 2023 before the knee injury. Might he be an option on that offensive line? Another position that was addressed, quarterback. Backup quarterback, or at least competition at the backup quarterback position. Desmond Ridder acquired from the Falcons in a player-for-player trade. Don't see those a lot, Rob, but you say goodbye to Rondell Moore, perhaps a need for the Falcons with the addition of Kirk Cousins. You ramp up those weapons for Cousins to throw to, and then you look for the Cardinals. Well, Clayton Tune had one start last year. Put him in a difficult position in Cleveland against that Browns defense, but you needed some experience at least behind Kyler Murray. Hope to never see that backup quarterback, but if you need 3, 4, or a half, if you will, a series late in the game for whatever reason, you want someone who has some starting experience, and Ridder does, 17 games. He's 8-9 as a starter. Not a lot of years in the league, just 2, but the starts is what I like.
Such an important position, the backup quarterback, because how many times have we seen in the last couple of years the starting quarterbacks go down with injury? I mean, it happens every team virtually. So that backup position is something that you want some stability there. You want somebody with some experience, somebody that can coach and help not only the starter, but also that third-string quarterback, in this case Clayton Tune, that you're trying to bring along and grow. So I like that. I like that move. I like Desmond Ridder. I think he has some ability, and if you know, you don't ever want to see it, but if Kyler does have to miss some time, you feel really good about a guy like Desmond Ridder coming in and being able to grasp the offense and carry the offense now. So I like that move. And look, Rondell Moore, I think is an unbelievable ability. You just never saw his true potential, never reached where we had hoped he would be. And so it kind of clears the lane a little bit for for some other guys, and allows that wide receiver room to really take shape and develop, hopefully over the draft, through the draft and free agency, and see where that goes. But I like this move overall.
Yeah, Rondale Moore seemingly made as many plays out of the backfield last year as he did as a receiver down the field. So as for Desmond Ridder, would you agree, Rob, the Arthur Smith offense has a lot of parallels to what Drew Petsing ran last year?
Yeah,
really,
it sure does.
Run heavy, just dynamic personnel sets. You can go from three tight ends to an empty backfield. Arthur Smith and what the Falcons ran, I'm guessing, is going to be real familiar for Desmond Ridder and what Drew Petsing's going to install.
Yeah, I do. I think this will be a seamless transition for Desmond Ridder. And, you know, it'll be a beneficial to Kyler Murray as well, I think, again, to have a backup quarterback with some knowledge, with some reps, some game time reps and experience in this league is always a good asset for your starting quarterback.
I'm going to go back to something you said about Rondale Moore and what that might mean for the rest of the wide receiver room, in particular one player, and that's Greg Dortch, because the signing of running back DJ Dallas, who doesn't have a lot of carries under his belts, but a good return specialist, especially on kickoff. Do we see Dortch now a little bit more involved in the offense, depending on what happens between now and obviously the draft, when you hope to add a wide receiver or two, but that undersized slot guy, Paul, that you can utilize, and then the speed that Dortch brings to the offense.
Because Dortch took such a beating in the return game. I mean, he's 5'7", 170-something. And when he got hit, a lot of times he get vaulted into the air. I mean, he took a punishment, and he was fearless. You talk about running into the darkness, Buda Baker. Greg Dortch does that in the return game. But now, if you can spare him that sort of physical contact and getting worn down like that and use that on offense, we see how lethal he is. Just get him a little bit of space. The reason he was your return man is he can make so many guys miss in a phone booth. Well, now get him down the field, get him a little bit of separation, and we saw it. We saw it at Chicago. You got him a catch at the second level, and he housed it from nearly 40 yards out, right? So maybe the Cardinals are thinking, all right, we have other weapons out there. If somehow he's going to be our underneath guy, he can really get those yards after catch as a receiver, not just a return guy.
Yeah, how many times have we talked about just when Greg Dortch gets an opportunity, he takes advantage of it. He really does. And this, to me, you know, Rondale Moore, wish him well, but this clears the lane a little bit for Greg Dortch and some other wide receivers to really make their mark on this offense.
And again, we'll see what happens come draft time, but that wide receiver room right now, Michael Wilson, Zach Pascal, and Greg Dortch, as far as your top three, doesn't really scare many defenses, but perhaps you add a top-tier wide receiver come draft time, or maybe even a couple at some point during the draft. When we come back here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, we focus on where the focus was in free agency, the defensive line and the players that were added to upgrade that unit that struggled last season. Craig Raiolu, Paul Calvisi, and Rod Fredrickson here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Pressure coming. He's in trouble, and down he goes. Justin Jones, 4.5 sacks on the season.
Look at this. Ball's on the ground. Ball's on the ground. Picked up by the Raiders. Do they have a touchdown with Nichols?
The Raiders pick it up and rumble into the end zone. Bilal Nichols.
So I get a call from Justin, and he like, hey, what's up, bro? Like, I just signed out there. I just signed to Arizona, too.
So I called him up, and I was like, hey, bro. I said, well, what's up, teammate? He said, teammate? He said, you going? I said, yeah, I'm going. He said, oh, yeah.
I'm in the school with my daughter, trying to keep it quiet because all the kids in there. I'm like, no way. Literally, as soon as I walked out the student, got in the parking lot, I screamed.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Was it by design or a happy accident that the Cardinals landed a couple of former teammates in the Senior Bowl 6 years ago who still remain good friends to this day? As you heard Justin Jones and Bilal Nichols discuss, they're finding out one another were now teammates 1 week ago. That was a week ago on Wednesday. As we say, welcome back. It is the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Craig Raiolu, Paul Calvisi, and Rob Fredrickson, as we talk specifically about the defensive line. And yes, Jones checks in at 6'3", 309. Nichols, 6'3", 313. You brought it up earlier at the start of the show, Rob, as far as the availability of these players. And you talk about Jones, who has started each of the past two seasons, not missed a game. Nichols has started 83 of 94 games. including each of the past two seasons with the Raiders. As they say, your best ability is availability.
Yeah, no, I 17 games starting the last two seasons for both of these guys. They're going to be available. They're going to be around. They're going to rotate. And that's what the Cardinals really need. And you think about JG, right, coming from Philadelphia and how that team was constructed from the inside out, both offensive line and defensive line. And I think that's kind of the blueprint. That's really what they want to do. You saw the focus in free agency for the Cardinals initially has really been on that defensive front and defensive side of the ball, and to bring these guys in, and you know, they're not just placeholders. They're not just guys you just set in there and okay, they'll rotate. These guys are meaningful. Look, Justin Jones, you know, led the team in pressures and tackles for losses for the Chicago. Really good defense. So we're getting some day one starters here, and that's important, I think, for the next few years, really to shore that up.
Yeah, same draft class, both age 27. Justin Jones coming off some career-high numbers. And neither guy was all that highly drafted. Justin Jones in the third round, Bilal Nichols in the fifth round. So you feel like you're getting guys with work ethic, right?
Yeah.
To get this sort of contract and free agency, these guys had to work for it. Nobody just gave them a roster spot. They weren't highly drafted. They didn't get that financial security right out of the gate. They had to earn it. So just to hear them talk, you see the sort of mentality that they play the game with. And then you wonder, okay, guess what? That's a really good fit with Jonathan Gannon and Monty Osifor. That's exactly what they're looking for. When Jonathan Gannon talks about the price of admission, just the sort of mindset and the personality type that he's looking for before they ever consider adding you to the roster.
You can see what they do on film. You can look at stats. But to your point, Paul, you listen to them speak. And the first time that we had a chance to hear from Jones and Nichols was last Wednesday. Here's Justin on what it takes, he believes it takes, to play defensive line.
You got to be a mean SOB. That's what it is. You know, it's just a man's game. Like, you know, we're on that field. You got to understand, it's people out there with kids and, you know, wives and moms taken care of and family, all type of stuff. So when we on that field, like, this is what it is. You know, like, either I eat or you eat. And I'm not going hungry today.
Love that attitude. That's Justin Jones, that who's now in that Cardinals defensive line room. Okay, his new teammate, again, good friend, Bilal Nichols, on what he believes it takes to play on that D-line.
I want us to be known as a very physical defensive line. Stop the run. You know what I'm saying? That's my goal. I want to bring in a mindset just like we the baddest mofos walking, point blank period, and nobody out-physicals us. That's the type of mindset we got to have every single day.
Lead by example. Sometimes actions speak louder than words, but those words right there from Jones and Nichols, Rob, I think will be heard loud and clear. Yeah, they're brand new to the team, but leadership in that room, in that D-line room, I think there's going to be a lot of Cardinals players looking at what Jones and Nichols do and say, and then maybe it shows up on that football field.
Boy, sign me up. I mean, I'm in, you know, just based on what I just heard there. I mean, it's a heck of a lot better than if they would have said, I'm so happy to be here. This is great, guys. No, I want to hear some of that, man. I want to hear some of that. A little bass in the voice, a little, you know, like he wants to play right now. They both want to play right now. And that's contagious, you know, and when you have that and you also carry it on over into the practice field, into the weight room in the off season, and then out onto the field during game day, man, that's what gets the defense going, and it all starts up front with these guys.
See, what I do, I to Rob's point, I go, hey, Justin, Bilal Nichols, come on over here. You see these box scores? Kyren Williams ran for 7 yards a carry over two games against the Rams. Christian McCaffrey had his way too often in the Niners sweep of the Cardinals. And then guess what? Seattle has a lot invested in their two big backs, Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. These two guys are vital in stuffing the run between the tackles, because that was a problem for the Cardinals last year, and especially in their own division. So to me, everything starts within your own division. You got to match up against Sean McVay and Shanahan's run game and what Seattle wants to do now with that Baltimore attitude that Mike McDonald is bringing from the Ravens. And so there is a method to the madness and the sort of defensive lineman you're bringing in, because they're going to have to be willing to take on the double team and do the dirty work to stop the run.
Overall, the Cardinals dead last against the run. And defensive line, yeah, you want some pressure on the opposing quarterback, but Rob, as far as stopping the run, your first line of defense are those guys in the interior, and specifically you're going to see a lot of Jones and Nichols lined up next to one another. Yeah, we do know this defense like to rotate players to keep guys fresh, but when you're spending money and offering three-year contracts for the first time under Monty Austin-Ford, the guaranteed money given to a Jones and a Nichols suggest, yeah, you're going to be rotated, but you're going to be on that football field maybe more than what we've seen from defensive line a year ago. You're going to be out there for a good 50 to 55, 60 snaps.
I think these guys are aligned. They understand what the expectations are for them, and they understand what those contracts and what that amount of money means as far as expectations and as far as you know, the culture that JG has instilled. I think they got the memo, and you know, just listening to him talk and I don't think you're going to have to ever worry about motivation and getting these guys to turn it on game day. I think they're turned on when they walk into the training complex.
You know, not only did Justin Jones and Bilal Nichols start all 17 games each of the last 2 years, Justin Jones played 69% of the defensive snaps for the Bears last year, and the year before he played 68% of the snaps. So he's used to a heavy workload. And by the way, Craig, there's going to be reinforcements via the draft. According to Daniel Jeremiah in his mock draft today, the Cardinals are trading out of number four with Minnesota. They're going to 11, taking Jared Verse, the edge rusher out of Florida State. Then with that 23rd pick that they add, they get Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver out of LSU. And then at 27 overall, Byron Murphy, the All-American D-tackle out of Texas.
By the way, I like that mock draft.
I do too.
Just saying. Might not be a popular opinion, but I did like that mock draft. The Dave Pasch Podcast is available now wherever you get your podcasts. For the latest updates, follow at Pasch Pod on Twitter. This is the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Royce Freeman in the backfield offers a block right up the middle. They come. Mack Wilson comes through like a rocket.
Has time, and that one is picked off. And it is Mack Wilson again with a terrific play.
Screen for McKinnon. Tackle from behind. Got absolutely ripped by Mack Wilson.
It's intercepted at the 30. Down the sideline to the 50-yard line. It's Murphy bunting to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10. Sean Murphy bunting is my hero.
Line drive thrown down the middle, and it was intercepted on a falling down pick. Sean Murphy bunting has just picked off a pass of Aaron Rodgers.
Fumbles the ball on the far side, and it's scooped up. It's picked up by Murphy Bunting, running right to left at the 30.
Mahomes throwing all the way through an interception. And on the return, Sean Murphy Bunting.
Two more pieces added to the defense in free agency. Sean Murphy Bunting, Mack Wilson. As we say, welcome back. The second half of the Cardinals Red Sea Report here every Tuesday, 11 a.m. year-round. Craig Riolu, Paul Calvisi, and Rob Fredrickson. Let's take these players one at a time, and let's first talk, Rob, about the cornerback, and that is big need. But you add Murphy Bunting, who's got experience and, again, has appeared in at least 12 games in all but one season over his career, and that was 2021 with a dislocated elbow. But someone who comes in with some valuable experience, don't have a lot of experience in that cornerback room at the moment, especially if you do not bring back Antonio Hamilton. But already he is a starter now. Is he a number one corner? He's going to be on the football field. Which side? Is it outside? Is it inside? But Murphy Bunting is going to be a part of that secondary this upcoming season.
Yeah, I like Sean Murphy Bunting. He's a day one starter. Okay, so we got a corner, at least one of the cornerback positions solidified. That's vital. That's important because this is a young room, right? You got Cottrell Clark, Garrett Williams, Starling Thomas, all rookies last year. So now you're bringing in somebody with some experience, some stability. And he's a winner, right? He's a Super Bowl winner. He's a guy that understands what it takes to get to that point and to succeed. You know, look, there's some issues with him. He's maybe man-to-man is not his strong suit. He excels in zone coverage, but that to me is something that the Cardinals like to do a lot of is play zone, and I think Sean Murphy Bunting's going to fit in really well in this defensive scheme.
It was interesting though to hear Sean talk about his preference or where he likes to play is on the outside, and is a press man coverage in his own words. He'll do whatever is asked of him, but you'd look at the metrics or whatever and it would be just the opposite, that he does not excel in that role as far as a press man.
So he started out as a round two pick after he was a zero-star recruit coming out of a Detroit area high school, went to Central Michigan, played in the MAC, then boom, he's taken in second round by Tampa, wins the Super Bowl, but he really earned a reputation as an excellent inside corner, as a slot corner, yet he wanted to play outside, and he got that opportunity on 1 year prove-it deal with the Titans last year, $5 million. He feels like he did that. Guess what? He cashed it in. He bet on himself. 3 years, $25.5 million, $17.5 million with the Cardinals. So, okay, but he told us in the Big Red Rage, Rob, that he's been told he will start outside. Now, he has the ability to play inside, but the Cardinals obviously like Garrett Williams as an inside slot corner. So, at least as currently designed now, he's going to be an outside corner. Whether he's cornerback one or not, we'll see what's left in free agency and maybe the draft.
I just don't understand how you are a zero-star recruit. Paulie, I feel like you have probably got a half a star playing saxophone in the band, marching band. I mean,
finally, I have something in common with an NFL player. We're both zero-star recruits coming out of Leland High School. Yeah, all Santa Teresa Athletic League, by the way, Rob. So easy on the saxophone comment over there, okay?
All right.
His explanation was he was a three-sport star. He was really good baseball player, good basketball player, so he never went to any of the football camps. He had no awareness about him because he didn't do the whole football parade that you have to do year-round these days.
Note to parents. get your kids in multiple sports.
Come on.
I can see a new podcast around the horizons called Zero Stars with Paul Calvisi and Sean Murphy Bunting. I think that would be a big hit.
You know what? Two things we have in common. That zero star, and I always bet on myself. Even with you cannolis in here, okay, I still bet on myself, just like Sean Murphy Bunting. That's what he said.
Enough of what we think of the man. How about we hear from Sean Murphy Bunting on what he believes the Cardinals coach is like in him?
They see a dog, pretty much, plain and simple. They see a guy that can go out there and shut people down, and that's just what I see in myself, and that's what I do. And so we believe in the same philosophies. They want me to mix up some things I know how. They want me to do certain techniques that I know how to play. I know how to play pretty much everything. I played in many different systems. Lead by example, lead the younger guys that they have in the room, show them that everything is possible, but at the same time have an experience behind it as proof that everything that I'm saying is it's happened.
There you go. Sean Murphy Bunting from the Big Red Rage. And I'm jumping in because what are the two things you want in any outstanding cornerback? You want confidence and you want a competitive attitude, right? At the end of that, we asked him about how he's been doing the kip up for all of like 2 or 3 weeks trying to emulate what Buda Baker does. He got on the floor in this year radio studio right where you're sitting, Rob. He cleared out the chairs and he showed us a couple of his kip ups that he's trying to emulate Buda Baker. Dude's competitive. Right here after a radio interview.
I just felt my sciatic acting up. I don't know what to do now.
We'd have to bring in the stretcher for you, Rob, at this point.
So Sean Murphy Bunting, we know he will be in the secondary in some role. Mack Wilson, will he be in that second level of the defense? A linebacker, is it inside, is it outside? He can pretty much do it all. We saw a little of that late last season with the New England Patriots. He did have 3 passes defense, 3.5 sacks, a couple of forced fumbles. So he is someone that is always around the ball. And I wouldn't say you like the versatility and you can move him around a little bit. And I do think it's a help as far as getting to the quarterback and then also in pass coverage as well when you're talking about covering your opposing tight end.
Yeah, I think Mack Wilson is – they're probably going to start him off as an off-the-ball linebacker, a drop linebacker in terms of coverage. But you're right. He has the ability to get up on the line of scrimmage and make something happen coming off the edge. A very athletic player, almost like a – you know, you look at Gardeck, okay? He's also a guy that can play off-the-ball linebacker. And so I think that versatility is important for the Cardinals. And, you know, you're looking for somebody to kind of pair with Kaiser White? You know, is it Chris Barnes? Is it Papo? Is it, you know, you lost Zeke Turner. We didn't mention that. And you know, just briefly to highlight him, you know, that was a great special teams player.
So no doubt.
You're going to have to find, you know, somebody to kind of pick up that torch on the special teams. But, you know, when you look at what you know, Mac Wilson can do, he can do really off the ball linebacking, and also he can get up on the line of scrimmage and be effective. So I like the addition of him, and despite losing a guy like Zeke Turner.
Pro Football Focus had Mac Wilson in as many pass rush snaps as coverage snaps a year ago. So they had ability to either get to the quarterback or help in coverage as far as when that quarterback is throwing the football. So he is all in, and he had the opportunity. He could have stayed in New England. Mac Wilson on why he chose to come out west.
I had a special feeling when I walked into this building. It felt like a breath of fresh air, obviously, and just the energy that, you know, JG, Monty came up to me with, and just in the building, in the cafeteria in general, it was dope. It was dope to see, honestly. And, you know, I feel like it's something special brewing, you know, in Arizona, and we're gonna get this thing going.
And we heard similar sentiments from all six of the new free agents that addressed the media last Wednesday. Paul is walking into this building. Many of them saw or met Kyler Murray for the first time. He's here a lot. And I do think it's by design that Kyler is here. But that feeling when you walk into the building for the first time, a different building, yep, and all of a sudden you can sense that right away, I think is huge for the Cardinals moving forward.
By the way, Kyler Murray might be on the backfield as we speak. Just might be. Just saying. Rob, do you think players talk around the NFL? Do players notice what other teams are doing and building?
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, there's a network. And you can sense that these guys have caught wind of what Jonathan Gannon and Imani Asenfort have done 1 year into this reset.
Yeah.
And they see it on film, I think. Both guys cited a fast, physical defense. They fit that mold. I think they look forward to playing in that sort of aggressive defense. And I also like when Mac Wilson said, you know what, I might be an underrated player to those who don't know me. And I do feel like on this one in particular, Imani Asenfort really watched the film because he excelled the last five or six games of last season when he finally got some meaningful snaps. He'd only played 27% of the defensive snaps, but when they got him in there on some money downs, he made some money plays. And all you have to do is watch his highlight reel. You're like, wow, this guy only played less than one-third of the defensive snaps last year. He was really productive when he was on the field.
Players talk, and also, as they say, film does not lie. DJ Dallas talking about how he watched the Cardinals over those last four games, getting ready for Cardinals Seahawks, but watching those four games, quote, I could see they were having fun. I'm ready to have some fun. And this is him talking about what was then a 4-13 team, but showing up every single Sunday ready to fight and fight for all 60 minutes.
You know what's interesting about free agency is sometimes they'll bring a player in, right, and take them out to a nice dinner and have some of your marquee players, the quarterback, a defensive star, kind of join and go out to dinner, and everybody's great. Everybody's having fun. Everything's great. But I think when you really get the sense of what it's really like, what the culture is really like at that place that you're visiting is when you go into the facility in the off season and what's really going on in the facility. Is there any activity? Is there any buzz? Or is it quiet? Is nobody in there? No players in there? I think, you know, Kyler being around and Kyler clearly buying in to what JG is selling is so vital in that it's not forced. It's not something that is inauthentic. It's not just, okay, I got to go to this dinner with this free agent coming in. It's real. It's, hey, come on over to the facility. We're all out here. We're throwing the ball around. We're laughing. We're joking in the locker room. We're lifting weights. We're working hard. That's something that guys naturally want to gravitate to if you're a free agent. And so that's something that I think the Cardinals really have done differently and turned it around and flipped the switch on it.
To have the face of your franchise greet you at the door. We saw it a year ago after Paris Johnson Jr.'s arrival when he was selected. Who was the first player out there? It was Kyler Murray meeting his future right tackle, or dare I say left tackle, to be. But that is important, and it does speak to what Rob was saying. Yeah, you want your quarterback bought in, and he is here. He doesn't have to be here this offseason. A year ago, he was rehabbing. He's not rehabbing anything this offseason.
I'm guessing he really has a sense of ownership at this point. Going into his sixth NFL season, there are virtually no holdovers, no leftovers from when he was drafted. Longest tenure Cardinal, DJ Humphries, released, Zeke Turner, no longer. So guess what? This is Kyler's team. He is the highest paid player on this team, one of the top five highest paid players this coming season in the NFL. So I think he feels that sense of ownership, and just sort of like Larry Fitzgerald grew up after his first couple of years in the league and then took that sense of ownership and felt like it was his team and is the highest paid player. And you saw that he was the guy most invested during practice. Guys would get off the practice field. Man, you wouldn't believe the show number 11 put on out there. It's so invaluable when the best player on the team is also the hardest working player on the team and is investing the most hours. That just makes everyone else that much more accountable. Because if he's doing it, then guess what? I better do the same.
Lead by example. Lead with words. How much more vocal is Kyler Murray going to be this offseason based off a full season, full offseason, which he doesn't have to worry about rehabbing anything? But again, the focus, at least initially here in free agency, was the defense. Five new players, projecting maybe four of them being starters. The one that we still might not know too much about is Kyrus Tonga, defensive lineman who a year ago did play in 14 games. So everyone that they have brought in so far, new faces, has played at least 14 games a year ago.
He's a big boy, too. Right? Yes. You talk about stopping the run.
Oh, boy.
You know, that's a guy that we're going to put in there, and he's gonna take care of that run, Paulie.
Guess what? He's in the goal line package right now. I'm just putting him in right now. He's in the goal line package. Hashtag Space Eater.
6'4", 338 for the young man.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Bird Gang, learn more about the Cardinals season tickets, premium seating, group tickets, and the all-new luxury field seating experiences today. Next season's home games, Bears, Chargers, Patriots, Jets, Lions, Commanders, and, of course, the NFC West. For more information, go to azcardinals.com/tickets. This is the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
I honestly hadn't had a plan for what type of captain I was going to be because it was just something I wasn't prepared for. I was very surprised and shocked. The only thing that I do want, though, I want as many people that was writing about me, calling me knee-deep, to remember to write about me and call me captain now. So when they address me, just address me correctly. Captain DJ Humphries, you know, just all those that had the same energy with that knee-deep, remember to call me captain now.
DJ Humphries, he will be missed both on and for us off the field. Never shy around a microphone. It is unfortunate. You tear your ACL late in the season, and then in the offseason, you are released. So we wish nothing but the best for DJ Humphries, who, yes, the longest tenured Arizona Cardinal player, the last four seasons, Paul, a team captain, someone who in year one in 2015 never got off the bench. In fact, never put on the uniform. Inactive all 16 games.
That's a great find. That's a great recollection from our Jim Almahundro, because it was very meaningful to DJ Humphries that he was named a team captain. Really meaningful. I vividly remember just the look on his face and how emotional he got when he was our longtime show host of the Big Red Rage, and we got into his selection from his teammates of being elected team captain and the way he started his career. And he didn't get a lot of respect from the media, didn't get a lot of respect from the veterans in that locker room after he was a first-round pick 2015. Who's this guy getting all this money? And he's that immature. And DJ Humphries owned it later. But talk about before and after, what he turned into. And Rob, you tell me. I mean, for a guy who does care about his career to the degree to which DJ Humphries does, to be elected a team captain, right? I mean, there's so many. The media honors are great and all the other stuff, but when it's from within, and we all know players, I mean, just tell us what sort of meaning is attached to that.
It's most meaningful, really, to have the trust and the belief in your teammates, the guys in the locker room. It goes beyond anything. And DJ Humphries is a, you know, it was a great player for the Cardinals, really a great player, a big personality. But, you know, he's a guy like many great players, a guy that had a chip on his shoulder. And you heard him in that rejoin there talking about the knee deep. that's something that he kept with him, and he kept it on his shoulder, and it motivated him, and it's something that, that really transformed him from, yeah, maybe he was immature initially, and you know, finding his way. Who doesn't? What football player doesn't? But boy, he sure became a great leader on this team and a great captain. And so, yeah, he's going to be missed. He's going to be missed by this team and you know, by this organization. But he's a great player, and I wish the best for him going forward.
Found his way to become a franchise left tackle, to where he joked, I just blocked the guy. Now, he did more than that, but you did not have to worry about the left side with DJ Humphreys manning that position, the blind side of your franchise quarterback.
And how often do you ever get any help? I don't really remember him getting much help from a tight end or a chip block from a running back. I mean, so often he was just assigned to the other team's best edge guy one-on-one. And it's your job to man up and get him stopped. And another sign of ownership and leadership by Kyler Murray is when Kyler tweeted out after the release of DJ Humphreys, which was expected, caponomics, it just, you know, the way he was at age 30 and coming off the injury and the way he was going to count against the cap in such an extra large way. And for Kyler to tweet out, quote, one of the realists, been a pleasure, hope all Cardinals fans appreciate Hump. Just yet another sign, Kyler, to me, being a leader on a daily basis, not just in good times and good headlines, but in stuff that tough business dealings that we see every offseason through every team in the NFL.
Humphreys was released, and then mere minutes later, it was reported, later became official, that the Cardinals had agreed to terms on a two-year deal with perhaps your next left tackle in Jonah Williams. Question is he a left tackle? He played right tackle last season for the Cincinnati Bengals, his first time playing right tackle since his freshman year at Alabama, resisted it initially, reportedly asked for a trade, performed well, though, playing right tackle. So when he met with the media last Wednesday, the question was obvious. Are you playing left tackle or are you playing right tackle?
I know what I'm bringing to this team, and it's great tackle play, and that's what I want to do. You know, wherever the coaches want to put me, wherever they decide to put me, that's what I'm going to do. I've played significant snaps at both positions, and, you know, I think I can possibly contribute to the team either way.
Putting team first, which is what Jonathan Gannon has to have in a player that walks into this building. It's team before the individual. And it's going to be fascinating to see what you do. Do you make that move with Paris Johnson to left tackle, which was projected when he was drafted, although he played very well on the right side a year ago? Bottom line is, Rob, you need two solid tackles, and the Cardinals right now go into 2024 with two solid tackles. We just don't know which side.
Well, we have them. We have them now, and Jonah Williams and Paris Johnson, and I think both those guys would say, hey, whatever the team needs, wherever they want to play me, I'll play. Paris Johnson obviously can play left tackle, so can some Jonah Williams, and both last season played right tackle really well. So it's going to be a tough decision, and you know, they may flop them around out there on practice and mini camps, preseason. They may, hopefully they have it figured out by then as to where they're going to line up. But you know, I think, and I've said this before, I think right tackle is a position that often gets overlooked, and yet I've put it in the similar, if not the same, category as a left tackle. I think it's equally as important. Not just your backside, yeah, that's important, but also your front side as a quarterback, your peripheral vision, and you see that pressure in your face, that's going to affect you. But if there is no pressure in your face, you got some time to go through your progression. So I see the right tackle position as being equally as important as left tackle.
And how many of these premier edge rushers these days flip-flop sides trying to look for the best matchup, right?
They sure do.
I mean, Micah Parsons could be anywhere on any given play in that front seven. So, and I mean, don't make us break out the long list of luminaries that Paris Johnson Jr. went against last year from right tackle. But Jonah Williams, former 11th pick overall, I mean, this guy was highly rated, missed his rookie season because of injury, started at left tackle the next 3 years. Then last year, right tackle was actually higher rated via the next-gen stat pass block win rate through ESPN at right tackle than he was a left tackle. So we'll see. NFL Network is reporting Paris Johnson Jr. is going to left. Cardinals are mum on that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens and what do we actually do see before training camp arrives, or maybe we have to wait until preseason, or dare I say the regular season. Jonah Williams, it was maybe the biggest of the moves of free agency. He had his choice of teams to go for. A lot of teams need tackle play, but Williams, on what he saw from the Cardinals looking from afar.
That's where it like reverberates throughout the league, you know, that sort of exciting new culture. And, you know, I had an opportunity to play out here, you know, last year when I was still with the Bengals. And the stadium's great. The fans were loud. And it's just like, you know, I kind of took some notes in my head. I was like, if the opportunity ever arises, I'd love to be out here.
He also added, Rob, talking about Jonah Williams, that the Cardinals, quote, were my number one team when he did hit the market. And the interest obviously was mutual. Now all of a sudden he's here wearing a Cardinals uniform.
Well, what are you going to say after you sign? Are you going to say, they were my fourth favorite? But no, of course you're going to say.
he does live in San Diego in the offseason. So he's sort of like Rob. He has the beach house in La Jolla.
Yeah.
Then he comes to the AZ when the weather is good. So, you know, it's a good life being an NFL guy.
Well he's going to live in the offseason. He's going to live in Arizona now.
Yeah.
That's the way they do it here, the culture, Paulie.
That beach house is still available, Rob. Maybe we should take the show on the road to San Diego this offseason.
That's the tax implications, too, of
yeah.
Arizona versus California. He'll be here.
Yeah.
Special thanks to everyone behind the scenes. Jim Omohundro, Cody Fincher, Ali Narini, Paul Calvisi, Rob Fredrickson. I'm Craig Riolu. This has been the Cardinals Red Sea Report on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
It is caught by McBride, and it's a touchdown. Buda Baker with the sack, stripped the ball. Murray's going to score, touchdown.
Oh, baby.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown! Cardinals win!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.